Heavenly Father, please guide in my sharing and as Dan continues to share. I pray that you'll help bring out what you want tonight, what would be important for the ears that are listening tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I usually share this in about 45 minutes or more, and so I'm going to try to be very condensed, but the story is full of answers to prayer, and I'll probably focus mostly on those. Let me think here. I first saw Dan probably in 1998, and as I share the story, some people might look and say, oh, you had a crush on him, and you got to marry the man that you had a crush on. And instead, I believe it was more of a growing conviction. The Lord just kept bringing him into my path and lots of answers to prayer. So in 1998, or maybe 99, I remember seeing him at a distance, pass by, and at a far distance, actually, pass by in front of me. And I wondered if he was married. And I thought he must be married. Something like that. And I didn't think a whole lot more about it. And then one day I was walking on a sidewalk there at Andrews between the library and the church. And I saw him coming up behind me. And I thought he'll probably pass me by or something. Well, he didn't. He slowed down and he walked with me. And he talked about how he had heard me share about an answer to prayer in a Sabbath school, and he was interested in answers to prayer. And so we talked a little bit, and in the course of the conversation, I learned apparently that his last name was Augsburger because he asked if I'd had a class from his dad. And interestingly enough, he asked me, because I was going to seminary, I was wanting to be a Bible teacher and a home ec teacher, and he asked me, so do you preach? And I was explaining a little bit of my history and stuff. And he said something about, but you will if God wants you to. My only experiences were more as a young person getting up front and that kind of thing. Church or, I guess at school or something. Anyways, and
but her motive for the seminary was to be a Bible teacher in academy.
Yeah, that's what I was looking to do. Anyways, and so I had this conversation, and the thing that really struck me is he said, you will if God wants you to. And it really struck me that this man seemed to understand that I wanted to do God's will. And that was significant for me. So about a year, more than a year later, I was working at Apple Valley, and I was finishing up school. And one day, I see him come in, and he walks by in front of me. And I was cashiering, and I prayed and I said, Lord, please let him come through my line. That was not a typical kind of a prayer for me to pray, I don't think. And sure enough, he came through my line. And when he came through my line, I looked up at him and I thought, I'm going to marry you someday. And I guess in my heart, I had this sense that it wasn't right away. That was in 2000. And we got married in 2012, so you know it was a long time. And so he came through my line at least twice. I kind of think possibly three times that summer. I might have been a little mixed up. But what I thought was this, in my mind, what I think is the second time, if I'm accurate, at least there was thoughts about him in regard to him and stuff. But I remember going home and calling a girlfriend of mine that had a 15-year age difference between her and her husband. And I wanted counsel. And I talked to my girlfriend, and I said something about, Alexandra, I think the Lord wants me to marry this man, but there's a large age difference. I didn't know what the age difference was. And that was something I was very uncomfortable with. But sometimes the Lord takes what you're really uncomfortable with and makes it like it's nothing. I don't know how the Lord works, but he does marvelous things. Anyways, but she told her counsel to me was, if the Lord's leading, it'll be okay. Well, that's excellent counsel. Mm-hmm. That doesn't just give your own opinion. Okay. So, I saw him come through my line, one time with a young girl. I don't remember exactly the age, but I wondered, is he married? Does he have a girlfriend? And at that time, I don't believe he, well, I know he wasn't married at that time, but I don't think he was dating anyone either. But I just didn't know what to make of it, and I really didn't know him. And so I just thought, I must have been mistaken. And I was like, I must have been all wrong. And I dropped the idea of it, of marrying him. And then that's, I think, really important, too, because you have to surrender. Sometimes the Lord is saying no, and you just have to surrender and not just put your own will out there. And so, okay, I dropped the idea, and that was in 2000 still. Well, speed forward. I really wasn't praying to marry him during those next few years because I didn't think he might be, I just didn't know if he was available. I remembered thinking of him one time, and I kind of just thought, you know, kind of you shrug it off and think you were kind of just off in your thinking. And so in 2008, in the meantime, I was away other places and everything. In 2008, I came back to the area less than 2 days. I was just visiting with some people. And while I was at a girlfriend's house, she said something about, Rose, you should get to know Dan. And I said, Dan who? And she said, Dan Augsburger. I knew this was the same man. And I have to admit, like my head shot up, my eyes looked forward, and I was wondering about this. But then that day, I didn't encourage her to say anything to him, and she didn't. But I prayed a prayer, and I said something about, Lord, if it's your will, I'm willing. And in my heart, in some ways, it didn't make a lot of sense. I had an interest in regard to Dan. I can't explain that, but it didn't make sense because I didn't know what we'd be talking about, what we have in common, and I didn't even know what he was doing. I was starting to really love Bible work. That's what I got into eventually. And anyways, shortly after that, I was living in North Carolina. So that's a long ways from Berrien Springs. If anyone knows where Berrien Springs is, it's a long ways away from North Carolina. And while I was living down there, I think the Lord was bringing me to a place about surrender, about marriage. I was enjoying Bible work a lot, and I was very content. And if the Lord wanted me to do that and never be married, that was okay. And yet I remember one day in church, there was a sermon preached, and that was part of the Lord bringing me to a place of surrender. And I felt like God was having his own sermon in my heart that day. And so there was a call at the end, but there was something deep happening in my own heart. And I remember standing up and everything, but my prayer about marriage kind of became, Lord, I'm just going to do Bible work. If you want me to be married, you can have someone over Sabbath lunch or whatever, say to the person, you should get to know Rose. Okay. So I just kind of left it at that. And I went on and I was enjoying myself. And then one day I got a phone call from a friend living in Texas, and she said something about Rose over Sabbath lunch. I was talking with someone, and basically the person was interested in getting in touch with me. And so I was willing, and so I started to talk with the person a little bit. We only talked a few times, and then he cut things off. And I respectfully so. I really respected how he did that. And so I just continued Bible working and everything. Well, one day I was getting ready to go on a trip, and I remembered this person. And I just prayed, and I said something about, Lord, if you want us to start talking again, have him get back in touch. It's probably been almost 9 months since I talked to this person. And probably within 72 hours, he and another person were leaving a message on my phone. I didn't even have his phone number on my phone. And so I thought, well, maybe the Lord's leading. And so I started to get to know him a little bit more, but mostly it was at a distance. I saw him in person at that time, just like he came through the area and stuff. And so that was like, you know, a visit in person was at that time and stuff. Anyways, and so I didn't know how the Lord was leading, so I was praying a lot. Point is that I was wondering, is the Lord leading in this direction? You know, there was some things that had happened that maybe God's leading. But then, and I'm thinking that Dan's not available this time. My grandpa had some mini strokes, some small strokes, and I went over to be near him in North Carolina. While I was at his home, I saw some CDs and paper covers, and they said Dan Augsburger in big letters. And I felt really impressed that it's like, I had this thought along the lines of, if you listen to these, they'll have a big impact on your life. And they have, and both spiritually and relationally. But as I was driving home, I started to drive away, and I hadn't gotten them, and I hadn't listened to them yet. And so I went back, and I asked to borrow them. And as I was driving, soon I spoke out loud, and I said, I could marry this man. And then I, what did I do? And then I listened to the other CD, and he talked about going through a breakup, and I ended up speaking to the CD player and saying, that's because you're supposed to marry me. And all I can say is there was strong conviction. It doesn't mean that I was right, because I kept praying to see, is God really leading or not? And so more time passed, and I listened to some more sermons. I got on the internet and I listened to sermons. I downloaded them. And at one point I prayed and I said something about, he gave an opportunity for people to pray, and he talked about praying specifically, and I believed in that. And I paused what I was listening to, and I went and I knelt down and I prayed, and I said something about, Lord, I don't know if you want me to be married, but if you want me to be married, please let me marry Dan Augsburger. That's a very specific prayer. And when someone lives about 14 hours away by car and they probably don't remember your name, that's really out there. But nothing is impossible for the Lord. Amen. And so I had been impressed before this, actually, that I was not to put myself in his path. That basically if something happened, it would be the Lord working. So, okay, I prayed, and then I listened to more sermons, and I thought maybe he was interested in someone or involved with someone or something, and so I had to surrender again, and I prayed, and I said something about, Lord, I don't know if you want me to be married, but if you want me to be married, if not Dan Augsburger, then someone like Dan Augsburger. And so I was like, not sure what the Lord was going to do, but I was surrendered. In the meantime, this other person got back in touch. And so I started getting to know them. And that went for quite some time, but it was just very general friendship in many ways.
Phone-based,
other than that visit in person. And so I... What did I do? Sorry. This is where the Facebook part comes in. I was in the library and I was looking at Facebook, and I saw him as a possible person I could be friends with. And I remembered that the Lord had put in my heart that I was not to put myself in his path. And so I didn't choose to send a friend request, even though he might have taken that as no big thing, you know. And yet I just decided that I wasn't supposed to do that. And as I was walking out of the library that day, I prayed, but Lord, you can have him ask me. And that was probably a bigger prayer than I realized in some ways, because I didn't know if he might recognize me or not, but he wasn't remembering me. Anyways, and so I went on, and probably a couple of weeks later, just not very long after, it seems, but I was talking with a girlfriend of mine on the phone, and she didn't know about my prayers. She didn't know about my interest in Dan. But she had received an email, and I didn't know this. Later, I put the picture together. But apparently, she had received an email newsletter from Dan that talked about recognizing God's will. So in the conversation, she just says something like, I wish I could know God's will about, and she wanted to know God's will about a situation, I think, specifically. But, she said, Dan Augsburger says, da 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 da. And she shared what Dan Augsburger had shared, and it was based on George Mueller, I think. And then I shared, well, Dan Augsburger also says, da 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 da. And we're having this little conversation. And in the course of the conversation, she said something about, I don't know if Dan will ever get remarried. She's just talking. She has no idea that I have any interest in regard to Dan in this way. And so this is kind of thinking, she knew him a little bit better than I did. And, well, I didn't know him very much at all. And I prayed afterwards. I felt like I needed to ask the Lord more. And so I when I got off the phone, I said something about, Lord, make me willing, or I'm willing to know your will about this other person. And then I knelt down and I said something about, Lord, it sounds like Dan might not be in a relationship. Your will be done. Very simple, right? That seems so far out there that I almost forgot praying it because I just thought that that was still very far out there. And so probably, I think the next Friday night, I was having this sweet time of surrender with the Lord. And on Sabbath morning, sweet time of surrender with the Lord. And as I'm driving to church, I'm singing, I'm saying, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And then I was praying about this other person. I said something about, Lord, if you want me to marry this other person, etc., I'm willing, but if it's not your will, take it away. And then I said, but if you would do it quickly. And then that afternoon, I went to the nursing home, and when I came out of the nursing home, there was text message, voicemail. It was a girlfriend of mine, and she was saying, Rose, she didn't know about my prayers. Rose, you'll never guess whose house I'm at. Dan Augsburger, you two are perfect for each other. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's interesting that a friend had asked to come and visit and said he had someone that was supposed to sing in the area, and could they eat at our house, my house? At the time I was taking care of my mom, I took care of her for quite a few years, so sure, this woman doesn't know me from Adam, sincerely. I mean, we had maybe traded one email, perhaps, that she'd asked something from me. But anyway, she's there in the middle of the meal, she suddenly says, there's someone that's perfect for you. You must write her. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. You know, you don't know me. You know, how could you know what's so right? And she said, no, I'm certain. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm happy. I'm preoccupied. I'm busy. I don't have time. You know, no, thank you. But she refused to take no for an answer. And so I finally, very reluctantly, against my better judgment, said, okay, I will communicate with her. And so I didn't realize it, but she quickly absented herself from the table, went outside and is sending Rose all these text messages about me.
Yeah. So I didn't even call my friend back until Sunday sometime.
How did you take the calls, my dear?
What
call? Oh. When you got those text messages.
Oh, when I was sitting in my car and I got that, I started to cry. I was very confused, actually, because now, two things. I was feeling bad that I got into the one friendship sort of, even though it was just at a friendship place, because I thought maybe the Lord was really leading with Dan and stuff. And so I was crying, and it was kind of good, but kind of confusing. And it just seemed like the Lord might really be leading, but I just wasn't clear. And so the man that was getting in the vehicle next to me is like, are you okay? And I was like, anyways, but I also went and tried to look for the pastor and his wife and connect with them. And they just basically told me to pray, and I did a lot of praying. Dan decided, instead of calling me, to send me a friend request on Facebook. So that was an answer to prayer, you know. And please, I know it sounds sort of silly, but it's serious.
Please understand, I had no intention of marrying her.
No.
No way. And I thought the least interest I could show was a friendship on Facebook. You know, how could she misunderstand that? And I even wrote her and I said, your friend insisted I write. I have no idea where this would go, but I can always use another friend. And so I, no questions about her. I had no interest, because I've learned if you say nice things to a woman and you're single and they're single, they might get ideas pretty quickly.
It's easy
quickly.
To get confused.
No way.
So I, it's sort of funny. It's almost tearfully accepted his Facebook request, because I thought the Lord might really, really be leading. And so I accepted it, though, recognizing that he was only offering friendship. And so we just wrote back and forth from about April until November. And then I was coming up to Michigan to see family at Thanksgiving time. And I let him know I was coming.
And let me just tell you, there was not even the tiniest tiniest hint of romance or interest in all those emails. It was, what are you doing ministry? Here's a book I've read, you know, like studies in Christian
pretty
education.
Pretty general.
I wasn't going to lead her on, and she will agree. I did nothing to suggest anything.
And there were no phone calls, just writing through the computer. And so I let him know that I was coming to Michigan, but I didn't ask to see him. And then I did let him also know that on part of my trip I was coming by Berrien Springs, but I, again, didn't ask to see him, and I just didn't want to, like, end up running into him in town and being like, well, we've been riding for a long time now, and I didn't tell you I was coming to Berrien Springs. You know, that just seemed like it would be awkward for me. Anyways, and so...
I invited her to come over.
He invited me to come for dinner. He said, while you're in town, he wrote, you must come over. And so I had a dinner with he and his mom at the house.
And I still remember when she showed up. I looked out the door, and she had her school glasses on. And though you can tell her hair is pretty long. At that time, her hair was below her waist, but it was up in the bun, so I didn't know it was long hair. And she had something buttoned up to here and something down to the floor. And I looked out the door and I said, this is an uncommon
my
woman.
Ankles.
This is intriguing to me.
So I came in and we had a very nice conversation. It was basically kind of like our emails, but we just talked a lot about ministry and things like that. And his mom was sweet. And she was nice towards me and everything.
And I was literally having to feed my mom every bite. So, you know, we're having this meeting and I'm feeding my mom and we're having this conversation. I wanted Rose to know this is what real life is with Dan. It's not this romance stuff. Here's all good reasons why you're really not interested.
Was your dad already gone by then?
He was already gone, yeah.
Yeah, this was in 2011.
Yeah. My dad died in 2004. So I've been the one taking care of my mom ever since that time.
And so he invited me to come back for another visit before I left Berrien area. And it was still a nice visit, but nothing was moving forward about a relationship or anything.
I was hearing no wedding bells.
Yeah.
And I wasn't looking for that either, to be honest with you.
But
I did decide
thoughts.
If I were to get married, which was highly unlikely, it would be someone like Rose probably.
Yeah, so... when I left, he said something about, we'll definitely be in touch or something like that. I thought maybe things were going to go forward, but they didn't go forward at that time. I went back down to North Carolina, but in the meantime, I'd been praying about both men because the pastor basically counseled me, you're not in a relationship with either one, just pray and basically see what God makes clear. And, and so as I was driving back out, I recognized that, at least at that time, I believed that the Lord was not leading with the other person. I believed he was leading with Dan, but I didn't know if anything would go forward with Dan. But I got a phone call as I was trying to return from the airport and from the other man, and I called him back, and we had a very nice conversation. And towards the end of the conversation, I said something about, I just want to let you know that I believe that God is leading with another man.
And what else did you tell him, my dear?
He doesn't know it yet. And the man was very kind, and he said something about, I'm all for you, Rose. And I just think that was also very instructive because not everybody responds that way. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really respectful. And he offered to pray for me. And then I had to wait. It's interesting, for quite some time there'd been a verse, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I believe that's Psalm 27:14. And so sometimes we have to wait. And so more time passed.
Yeah. But let me say that Rose was very busy as a Bible worker and very happy. And I was very busy and very happy, too. So it wasn't like we were desperately lonely at all, yeah. I don't think.
My birthday was in December, and he called me for my birthday, and he said something about, I hope this will be the happiest year of your life. He didn't think it really involved him in any way, but not really. But I guess he was under the impression that if he ever married me, which seemed like a big if, he would regret not calling me for my birthday. And so he did call. Mm-hmm. Because he wasn't, like, calling regularly still.
That might have been the third phone call between us.
Something like that. Because he didn't call for the first visit. The second visit he called, we connected a little bit to make sure I came back over and stuff, I guess, to work things out. And then he called for my birthday. And then back to waiting. I wrote him a message at one point, and I didn't hear anything for 3 weeks. And so I was wondering if I had offended him with something I wrote in the last message. And so I just sent a message along lines of, because I thought even if he's just stopped writing and he's not interested or whatever, that's okay. But I didn't want to end on a bad note, you know? And so I just asked if I'd offended him, if I'd written anything to offend him. And he wrote back right away and said, I don't get easily offended. I've just been busy. And he was getting ready to go to India. And he went to India in February, and I was seeking a lot of counsel from a few people. I was seeking counsel from a few people. And I was wanting to know about writing him and asking his intentions. But there was just this little lack of peace. But as I got...
God had been impressing you about that mm-hmm. for a long time.
But as I got closer to the time where I would write him, because I wasn't going to write while he was in India, and then he was going to Canada, and I wasn't going to write him about that. We were just writing, but not about that. And so I was praying about a week before I was going to write or so, during the week before I would write, and about that. And I was reading the story of Isaac and Rebecca, and I noticed that Eliezer remained silent to see if God was leading. And it's like the Holy Spirit or an angel, somehow something worked on my heart, and it was the thought was, that's what he's doing. And basically that Dan was remaining silent to see if God was leading. And Dan would say that's really accurate because he hadn't heard yes and he hadn't heard no. So he hadn't moved either way. And so that night when I went back to where I was staying, I was praying. I knew I needed to pray. And there was a thought, you know the story, but he doesn't know the story. You know the story, but he doesn't know the story. And I'd been having that thought since probably, September or longer. And this was March. And so I always kind of dismissed that thought before with the idea of, well, I can't tell him the story. And so I'd pray and say something like, Lord, please have someone in India tell him you need to get to know Rose or something like that. Anything was possible, you know. And, you know, ironically, there was someone that we both knew that was in India, and so it's possible that he could have said to him, you need to get to know Rose. That didn't happen. That wasn't the Lord's method in this situation. So I prayed that night, and I said something about, Lord, if you want me to tell him the story, I'm willing to tell him the story. That meant being very vulnerable. That meant saying, you know, I prayed that you would come through my line at the grocery store, and I looked up at you and thought, I'm going to marry you someday. That's vulnerable for a woman to say. And even dangerous if it's not led by the Lord to do so. And so, but I put it before the Lord, and I was willing if the Lord wanted me to. And as I got up from the prayer, I had peace. And I walked away and I said something about, but Lord, I don't know how you're going to let me know that you want me to tell him the story. So a few days later, I was at church and I saw a woman that is an older woman in the congregation, and I thought I wanted to maybe counsel with her and her husband. And so I asked, and I went over to their house, and I just ended up counseling with her that afternoon. And I was telling her about wanting to ask him his intentions, like through a letter, email. And in the course of the conversation, it was interesting. She was kneeling next to her couch, and she said, this is what I think you should do. I think you should write him a letter and tell him about some of the prayers you've prayed and about specifically how you believe God is leading, something like that. And I said, you mean tell him that I think I'm supposed to marry him? And she's like, pretty much yes. And so I was like, wow. But you know what? It made more sense than ever because basically I was looking at all this evidence, but Dan hadn't been able to look at all of it. And so he could look at it, pray about it, and if he didn't see it, then that was fine. And so she told me to pray about how to write the letter. And interestingly enough, I'm highly detailed, and you have not gotten the detailed version of this story. I'm highly detailed. And so I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, and I was praying about how to write it. And then when it came out to what I sent to Dan, it was like an answer to an essay question. It was brief, bullet points, but clear. And it basically it said, you wanted, and I said something about, at the end of a lot of your emails, you have God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And I said something about, you want to do God's will, I want to do God's will, this is how I believe to recognize God's will. And then I had 4 points, I believe. And then I said something about,
here's some of the prayers.
I want to share with you some of the prayers I've prayed in regard to over the years. And they were like bullet points. I made them very short and simple and kind of showed the answers. And even some of them named people that he would recognize the names of them. And he could call them if he wanted to or whatever. And then I said something about, I believe God has called me to walk by your side. I don't know the when. If you don't see it, please just let me know. Thank you for the friendship you've extended. Sincerely, Rosemary Parker, or something like that. So it was a very short email, actually, in some ways. And I prayed, and I sent it off to him, and he got it.
I got it, and I was shocked. She hadn't given me even the slightest hint. We'd spent about 7 hours together over afternoon, evening. And I was completely blindsided, so I read it, reread it, printed it off, read it again, and realized this was real serious. So I actually emailed her right away and said, keep believing God is leading. I need time to pray. And I had two big concerns. One was, is this God? And number two, is she honest? Because she could have made the story up. But I felt like the things that she gave as bulleted items, which is exactly the way to communicate with me, was right on. I couldn't ignore it was God. And I was pretty convinced she was an honest person. And I've since discovered she's probably one of the most honest people I've ever met. I will tell you that. I won't go into detail, but she's very honest. And so I finally wrote her and told her we need to talk. So we talked for the first time on a Sunday evening where she shared verbally how God had been leading.
It was a Monday night.
A Monday night, the detailed version. And then Wednesday, we began talking. And we started with prayer, and every conversation was a major aha. I was just amazed that she was such a perfect fit for who I was, because I had a ministry. I was going, you know, here and there around the world, and what woman would want to leave her ministry or what she was doing to marry me, help me take care of my mom? I had 2 kids from a prior marriage, you know, all of those things. And yet, as we talked, it was like there was this amazing match. I couldn't ignore it. Now, I'm speaking for Rose here, but when she was 19, she had had a serious relationship for a while with the guy, but had decided that she only wanted to date seriously the guy she was going to marry. And so she hadn't had any relationships from that time with a guy of any consequence.
Yeah, I just had, like, friendships and been on some dates.
But yeah. And so my question was, why me? I felt so unworthy. But God really spoke to me through the book of Ezekiel and said, look forward, don't look back. And so I trusted him. But there was still the issue of the fact that there's a bit of an age difference between us. And I'd always felt very strongly that you know, I wasn't going to give myself a pass for something that didn't truly have God's permission. I know what Ellen White writes on the subject. And so I wasn't going to go anywhere. But Sabbath morning of that week when I was looking for something on the internet for some friends in India, interestingly enough, in India, I came upon a letter that Ellen White wrote to Stephen Haskell. He was in his 60s. He was thinking of getting married a second time. He was thinking of marrying someone 23 years younger. And he asked permission if he could marry this younger person. And she was writing him back, and also G.I. Butler at the same time, another one of our pioneers. And she said, if you marry someone your age, you end up taking care of the person. But if you marry someone younger, you have many years of ministry yet, and she's willing, don't hesitate. And I took that as God's permission for me to marry Rose. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. But what I told her right away was, Rose, I have to talk with your mom. Because if her mom didn't approve, it wasn't going to go anywhere either.
I was going to say, with G.I. Butler, it was actually the letter she was writing to Stephen Haskell, she was referencing G.I. Butler in it. But it wasn't a letter to him. But yeah, so he called my mom on Sunday. So this is all less than a week from the time we started talking seriously on the phone.
Her first question was, what are your intentions? I said, marriage. And she said, how soon? I said, by the end of the summer. Now, please understand, she'd been praying for 11 years, okay? And it's like I suddenly seen this huge picture, and why waste time? Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like the Lord was leading unmistakably, and we talked for an hour and a half, and she confirmed many, many reasons why Rose is right. She, you know, I'm a dual citizen. I'm a Swiss citizen, a U.S. citizen. She grew up in Germany for a few years because her dad was in the military. Both of my daughters were married to men in the military. When she left her academy Bible teaching, which was a plus as far as I was concerned, in terms of the experience teaching academy Bible, when she left it, she chose to only take the things that she could fit in her car. And I thought to myself, she put a few things in storage, mm-hmm. but mainly just what she could keep in her car. And I said, for someone who travels a lot, I need a woman who can just take what she can fit in her car and not take the kitchen sink and, you know, and all this furniture too. I said, this is just the kind of woman. And her mom told me, she said she makes friends everywhere she goes. She can just go anywhere. So we had this nice conversation. I got off the phone and thought to myself, how will I surprise Rose? Continue, Rose.
Well, when I called my mom that night, because she lived in Hawaii at the time, and I just wanted to touch base with her after I knew she had talked to Dan. And right away she said something about, your sister and I already decided you need to wear a haku, which is like the little flower thing on your head, you know, for your wedding or something like that, or when you get married. And she'd already called my aunt and my sister, I think, and said, Rose is getting married. One of my aunts, yeah. And my mom was very confident. And so she let me know that they talked and some of what Dan had shared and about how he was planning to marry me by the end of the summer. And this was probably April 1. And we were married by August 3. We got married. And everything just...
It's pretty amazing. I remember I was in Apple Valley talking with some students. You know, and I asked them about what was going on in their life. And they asked me, they said, well, what about your life? I said, well, actually, I'm getting married in August. They said, hold on. How did you keep a secret so long? And my response was, well, I just found out too. It was sincere, but I'll tell you what. I could not keep from telling everyone this story. If I was on an airplane, you know, they were a captive audience. They heard the story. If I was anywhere else, everyone heard because I was just so excited about what God was doing. And my brother, who knew I'd been single now for 20 years or close to that, he said, are you okay? You know, you've only spent how many hours? And you say you're getting married? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm sure of this. Well, he wasn't convinced, but his wife thought it was okay. Maybe she was having pity for me. I don't know why. But anyway, we decided I should come down to spend some time, do some due diligence, you know, make sure that I wasn't completely, you know, beside myself.
We had a wedding date, though, already before he came.
Yeah, so I remember flying into Charlotte and walking across the airport and looking down and saying, that's going to be my wife. You know, that's amazing. You know, like a mail order bride or something. And we'd already decided, and it was a wonderful decision. We wouldn't hold hands or we wouldn't kiss until after we were married.
Or at the wedding. Your wedding.
And I think our marriage is much better for having taken the high road in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at the wedding, he took my hand for the first time, and then once we signed the license, yeah. He was allowed to give me a kiss.
Yeah. But anyway, we had a wonderful time. The church offered to marry us right on the spot. They saw that we got together, pretty much.
I was going to say, we did hold hands twice in prayer, like when people prayed in a circle before we got married.
The detailed
before the wedding.
Honesty is coming through. But it's interesting, and some of you know the Haywards, Bruce and Dorothy. They said, we'll do some premarital counseling, so they gave us a prepare and enrich inventory. And when Bruce met with us with Dorothy, their first words were, we have little to say, we don't have much to say to you because you have some of the highest compatibility scores we've ever seen. That inventory has 160 questions answered 5 ways if you answered within 2. It's strongly disagree all the way to strongly agree, you know, with agree and etc. Your answers are considered identical, and we had like 86% of the questions identical over 160
statements. Yeah.
Statements. Mm-hmm. So they said, you're like twins. We're a little concerned about making decisions, but we think you'll be very happy. And I can tell you, we have been very, very happy. If anyone ever had a God-arranged marriage, I'm convinced that we have it.
It's been a blessing. And we still have room to grow, like everybody in their, even in your Christian journey, you're growing in the journey. But it's good to be with the one that the Lord has placed you with.
Yeah. So, now, just a little bit on the Bible study and on on God's will. As I've studied about God's will, one of the key things is, and someone actually put it this way, 90% of the challenge of knowing God's will is being open to whatever God wants. Mm-hmm. They actually put it this way, choosing to have no will of your own, saying, God, whatever you want, I want. Where do you want me to live? Where do you want me to work? Who do you want me to marry? Many of us, though, will accept God's direction in many areas, but when it comes to the one we marry, we often want to have a bit of say, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's an interesting story. I won't look it up. I'll tell you the story to save time, but there's the story of Eliezer being sent to find a bride for Isaac, remember? And he was told to go to a certain place, right? And he didn't go to Egypt. Had he gone to Egypt, he might have gotten confused. He went where he was supposed to, which was to where there would be the people of Abraham, right? And he prayed, right? And he said, God, here I am, and let someone come and do certain things in terms of bringing water, etc. And he said, let her be the one. And I was struck way back when that in that story, it says she appears before he finished praying. Mm-hmm. And this newsletter that Rose referred to was a newsletter that I entitled, Are You Serious When You Pray? And my question was, if you ask God for his will, his direction, are you willing to accept what he says? Because as I had studied the story of Isaac and Eliezer, or at least Eliezer looking for a wife for Isaac, it struck me that the reason God was able to answer the prayer so quickly was because he was prepared to accept the answer immediately. And I believe that because many of us are reluctant to really trust God in our lives, that God can't send the right person right away because he knows we won't be satisfied with his choice. We're going to wait and kind of, you know, do whatever, checking various people out. And so when I got this email, I was really struck by the fact that I was in an Eliezer situation. I had prayed for wisdom, and I had always said to God, I don't have, or my impression was, God, I don't have time to chase. I don't know how to choose you better, revealer. And I felt like God had just revealed her. And if I wasn't willing to accept his choice, I better stop doing what I do, which is encouraging people to want to know and do God's will. And so when I said yes, it's because I felt like God had clearly shown it in the things that she showed me. Now, this is what's interesting. When Eliezer goes to her, to Rebecca, what does he do? Does he say, I think you'll be happy, I think you'll fall in love with him? No, she talks about how God answered his prayers. And when he goes to the family, he talks about how God answered his prayers with them. And when they come back to Isaac, it says she covered herself, and Eliezer goes and shares the story, and based on what he heard of God's leading, he accepted her. And this is the point I'm trying to make. When God is leading and you're open, number one, God will make it clear. It will not be contrary to what Scripture teaches, okay? He was told to go to a certain place. He went to the certain place, and God answered the prayer right away. If God is leading, he won't ask you to marry someone, for example, outside of the faith, right? Can't be God's will. And when I fell in love with a Lutheran girl, she was a Lutheran gal from Norway, I should have known from the beginning, God can't be leading in this, right? So that's the next step. First, be open to whatever God wants. Number two, anything that is God's will be in harmony with what the Bible teaches. Number three, when God is leading, he will open doors and close doors. You'll see a certain leading. And so as Rose was praying, people, without her prompting, kept bringing my name up. You know, you should know Dan, or I don't think Dan will ever get married. And it wasn't like she was asking people. It was like God kept bringing people to her, and it was an unmistakable impression, truly. And then there's this peace, and instead of being frightened, you know, she just kept letting God lead. And then the fifth step that is often mentioned, and Ellen White mentions it as well, and there's wisdom in going to many counselors. And if God is truly leading, others looking on will say, I think God is working. And in Eliezer's case, as he shared the story, it says the family of Rebecca could say neither yea or nay. It was so clear that God was leading. And so when Rose and I talk with young adults that aren't married yet or singles, and they're getting serious, we ask the question, how do you know that God has told you that she or he is the right person? In our case, it would have been a sin not to get married, okay? It would have been a sin. And a lot of people say, this is maybe for the young adults here, a lot of people say, if you're really strong, you don't need to get married. But I will tell you that my ministry is better for being married than when it was single, because people look at us differently. I can talk about families, I can talk about marriage, but having a wife that's happy next to me, says a lot more than anything I could say, okay? And it's not because I'm such a great husband, but I think God did a match that he can bless, okay? So the point is that God wants to give his direction in all areas of our lives. And I could talk about jobs, I could talk about many areas, but we need to trust God more because, well, some of you, at least one person, knew of my parents. She says that she sat with the sister here. She sat with my mom or was with my mom.
Her sister.
Her sister was. Mm-hmm. After I was born, was it? After I was born, no less. But my dad taught at Andrews over the course of 60 years. And he said he never worked a day of his life. He only had fun. And the point is that when you're in the center of God's will, work is no longer work, it's a joy. Okay? And we need to, and Ellen White makes a statement, I'm talking just from my heart. She says, when we love God's will, it's not hard to do God's will. Did you hear me? When we love God's will, it's not hard to do God's will. And we may need to say, God, give me a new heart to love what you love. Give me a new heart to love who you love, and give me a heart to love your choices for me. Because that's where true joy comes from. Okay? And in prayer, God has said if we pray to know and do God's will, that we can count on his answering our prayer for whatever that is. Rose finding me was an impossibility, but God pulled it off. And I can tell you this, that because we chose not to do some of the things that people think are necessary today, our relationship was so much closer by the time we got married. And I still remember, I made up for lost time. I kissed her twice at the wedding, I'll be honest with you. And when I got out of the church, she said, come here, and she gave me a big hug, and we have the closest relationship you could imagine. Truly, it's really a joy. And when we travel, we're together 98% of the time. Really, we're kind of
we're
happily
together.
luckily. So it's worth knowing and doing God's will.
When did you feel like you were really attracted to her then?
Actually, I told her I loved her before I loved her because I knew it was God's will. Okay? I can't...
I don't know if you can...
What? No. I didn't lie. It just, let's put it this way.
I was... Before you loved her.
No, before...
No.
Before the emotions followed.
Before the emotions followed, I admired her. I respected her. I couldn't imagine someone would be patient so long. I was impressed with her walk with Jesus. But the emotions weren't there, if that's what you're referring to. And I can say that I told her I loved her, and I believe very strongly, this is Dan's personal theory, that your emotions follow your words. And if Rose said, you can no longer say, I love you, my love might dry up. You need to express your love, in my opinion.
I think it was interesting, because Dan said to me, I already know that I love you, probably the Wednesday after he talked to my mom.
Yeah.
So we talked to her on Sunday.
And Rose's response was, a deafening silence.
I didn't say that at that point. And so I think I prayed about it for a few days. And then I just wanted to be really careful because I didn't want to express that to someone that I ended up not marrying, even though he's saying that to my mom, that he's planning on marrying me. And so by, I think, Saturday night, I said something about out of my relationship with God, I think something like that. Out of my relationship with God, I love you, or something like that. And then after that, it became more natural. But I wanted to be cautious because even though everything was pointing to go forward, I wanted him to be able to, even on the wedding day, say, I don't see it, Rose. I need to not get married. I wanted him to have that freedom.
And I kept telling her it wasn't too late.
Yeah.
She wanted to say she wasn't interested. It wasn't too late.
But the day, our wedding day, was full of peace. It was really amazing. And interestingly enough, other people were taking care of a lot of details. And I was there probably, we got married at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And probably at about 10 or 11, I was helping feed his mom. And my brother-in-law or sister-in-law-to-be or whatever came in. And I think my sister-in-law-to-be said something like, so how are you doing or whatever? I said, I'm doing fine or whatever. She's like, you look like you're doing fine. It was just, even though there was busy things happening, everything, there was just peace. And I really wanted peace on my wedding day.
Yeah. And we wanted a wedding that was inexpensive and modest and honoring God. And it was a wonderful experience. Very simple, but wonderful.
It was fancier than I even expressed a desire for. But others just wanted to do things for us to make it special and nice. But that's kind of how.
God has not disappointed me. You know, I went so far out of my comfort zone in deciding to marry her. It's truly, it's nothing I would have ever done in my wildest imagination. But I knew God was leading, and I didn't want someday for Rose to say to God, "You were leading towards Dan. Why did he never say yes?" I was not going to disappoint her. If nothing else, I wasn't going to have her prayers unanswered because I was so unwilling. So I said yes. I went way beyond what I would ever recommend anyone else. And lo and behold, it's been better than anything I could have possibly dreamed of. Truly.
Anyways, we shouldn't keep you longer.
I got a better deal than she, I'll tell you that. But she puts up with me, okay. We've gone too long. Ask your apologies, but it's a true story. And I truly believe in the power of God's will. Do you have any last question? I know you've
already... We can talk if anyone wants to.
We can talk later. I know it's late. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this evening we've introduced the subject of prayer and God's will. And Lord, somehow you put it on Rose's heart way back when that somehow she was going to marry me, and she didn't know if I was single or married or anything at that time. And Lord, she didn't know that it would be 11 or 12 years from that time, I guess 12 years before she would be married to me, but she was led by you. And eventually you brought us together, Father, and I'm grateful. Lord, I think you want to bring us joy in a lot of things in our life, where we live, what we do, how we live, what we eat, etc. All of those things come out of your will. And Lord, when we pray, help us to be open to whatever you want. Help us to compare, Father, your leading with what the scriptures teach. Help us to look for the opening and closing of doors. Help us, Father, to keep hoping for that identifying mark of peace, Lord, so that we can go forward confidently and excitedly, knowing that you do good things for your children. Please, Father, bless each one of us, Lord, as we seek to know and do your will. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.